The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Let's talk about minimum unit pricing, because despite some opposition, Cabinet expected to push ahead today with this policy, which will place a floor on how much can be charged for a can of beer or a bottle of wine or anything else with alcohol in it in shops or supermarkets. To discuss, I am joined by the political scientist in DCU, Owen O'Malley, and by Chris Luke, consultant in emergency medicine in Cork. You're both very welcome to the show. Owen, I understand you have some reservations about minimum unit pricing. What are they?
I'm not sure that they'll necessarily work. So there's been some research, and all the research that's been done does seem to suggest that minimum unit pricing has an impact on the amount of alcohol that people drink. Now, what it does do is it increases the cost of alcohol, particularly for people who don't have a lot of money. So maybe for students, for poor people, it's going to make it much more expensive to drink even the very low recommended amount that the government seems to want us to drink. So it'll add a couple of hundred euros a year to the cost of drinking. Now, the research in Scotland, where it's been introduced a couple of years ago, seems pretty good, but there are some problems with it in that it excludes exactly the people that we're worried about. So if the policy is introduced to stop very heavy drinkers from drinking, what it does is, in their studies, they actually systematically exclude those people because of the way in which, you know, they gather the data. They aren't going to get people who are essentially alcoholics. So we don't really know whether it will have the impact that it's hoped to have. And instead, it might just increase the cost for people who are just moderate drinkers and make their lives worse. And okay. I'm not sure that the government should be doing that.
All right. OK, so in short, it won't stop problem drinking to any great degree, you suspect, and it will just make drinking more expensive for people who are on lower incomes. I mentioned Chris Luke, the consultant in emergency medicine in Cork. Chris, do you share any of Owen's concerns?
Well, I do. I mean, I think it's important that we're all, you know, appropriately sceptical about scientific knowledge, because I suppose science is an ever shifting, you know, river. And we're always moving along the river of knowledge. So, you know, it's possible that anything can be overturned, you know, in due course. And there's no one cure, no silver bullet for any condition that I know of. So I can understand his skepticism. On the other hand, I do think it's about time we tried it, because, you know, we do have a serious problem with booze in this country. And I'm a fan of looking at the bigger picture. And, you know, rather than just looking at the last year or 5 years or 10 years, I think we should look at it over decades. And since the 60s, our consumption of alcohol has nearly trebled. So, you know, we need to look at things in the long run. And I'm certainly personally convinced by the science, both the public health science and the you know, the hepatology, the liver science, for example, that if you operate at a population level, just the same way as you do with vaccines, that it's the overall herd that benefits. So at a population level, I'm persuaded that having a floor price for say a pint of beer or a bottle of vodka or a bottle of wine of X, Y, or Z, and they, you know, they set them out. It's roughly €1.28, I gather, is the minimum price going forward for a can of lager, and I think, you know, that's not unreasonable. And from what I've heard and read about the minimum unit pricing, you know, studies so far, is that it really doesn't deter people who drink with a low risk. And the added expenditure per annum is really pretty modest.
Modest, though, for most people. I mean, when it's across the board, a flat rate minimum unit price, you have to accept that represents more of somebody's disposable income when they're on a lower income than maybe, let's be honest, myself, yourself, or Owen.
Oh, yes. I mean, I absolutely get that argument. And I haven't really been 100% persuaded that someone who's absolutely desperate for drink, you know, won't spend the entire, you know, family allowance for that week. But it was ever thus. And, you know, I do think that it is certainly worth trying. And I'm certainly convinced that across the population, that the minimum price does seem to have it does seem to be targeted in terms of its benefits in relation to liver harm, as well as the domestic violence picture. You know, I mean, we must remember that drink is the great cause of most accidents, most hangovers that stop you going to work, most, you know, random attacks in the street, and so on. So, you know, I really do think this is both important and urgent.
Owen, what about that in terms of public health and both personal health, that there's an argument that we should try something?
So for personal health, the evidence suggests that there's just a drop in about 1 or 2 units per week. And I'm obviously no renal consultant, so I don't know, but I suspect that 1 or 2 units a week isn't going to make a huge difference to people's health. In terms of public health, in terms of the things that Chris was talking about, the violence that you see outside pubs at weekends, for instance, I think that probably will be dealt with in through better mechanisms. I mean, maybe we should stop sending everybody out onto the street at exactly the same time where they then get into fights. Maybe the pubs and nightclubs could be designed to be a little less anonymous. You know, if people will drink differently in their local pub where people know them than they will in a kind of city, large city centre nightclub, and they might behave differently. So I think we could probably use different ways of targeting how people behave. We also, it's ignoring then also substitution effects. So for instance, if I am priced out of a can of Galahad, and now what do I do instead? And I mean, a lot of the evidence over time shows that Scotland has a decreasing alcohol problem, but has at the same time a very, very big and increasing drug problem. And so it's, last year it had the record number of drug deaths. And we don't know whether, I mean, I'm not going to try and suggest that minimum unit pricing causes this, because it's been going on for a long time. But we don't know whether people substitute the alcohol for something else in order to get their kicks. And it could be more dangerous if they move to something else.
Chris, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit later in the show to Blind Boy Boat Club, and it's about cannabis, and I don't want to get down too far down that road now, but I suspect, because I've heard him talk about this before, that he'll mention self-medication, and that's what people who abuse any drug are doing, whether it's cannabis or alcohol or anything else, and that those people, they'll still self-medicate once you increase the price of alcohol. So I suppose the problem drinker, the person we're trying to target, will actually slip through the net here.
Yeah, Owen is absolutely right. I mean, there is a sort of emotional whack-a-mole effect here. You know, you get rid of one agent of intoxication or one agent of oblivion, which is, you know, the classic generic idea that people are trying to, you know, in pursuit of oblivion because of adverse childhood experience or early adult trauma. And I'm very much sympathetic to the idea. But, you know, just to go back to another thing he said, you know, I trained in Edinburgh during the train spotting era in the 80s, and Edinburgh was the heroin capital of Europe at that time. It was also the AIDS capital, and I'm afraid it kind of remains that way. And I mean, Edinburgh is my second home. As to where my wife's from Edinburgh, so I spend a lot of time there, and it's a very peculiar mix there of poverty and prosperity, which it's hard to explain why it has the heroin situation that it does. It goes back to the same kind of era as the Dublin, you know, in the Liberties in the late 70s and early 80s. Mm. But, you know, it's a very complicated issue. And there's no doubt at all that it's about adverse childhood experience and, you know, the experiences that people have in the first sort of, say, 5, 6, 7 years of their life. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, and as for cannabis, my tuppence worth is cannabis is, you know, people say let's treat it as a health problem. Yes, let's treat it as a health problem. It is the leading mental health issue in young adults and adolescents at the moment. And it's about time we talked about that, because yeah, you know, we've been brushing that under the carpet. Like all the things we do, you know.
Yeah.
Like all of our overindulgence in this country.
Yeah, well, listen, like I said, we're going to talk about that particular problem in more detail with Blind Boy Boat Club after 5 o'clock. Is there evidence, Chris, of other jurisdictions where alcohol is expensive, either through minimum unit pricing or because it's just traditionally more expensive because of other taxes and excise going down through the years, whereby their rates of problem drinking are much lower than ours?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hugely important, I think, to look at the long view. France classically had a problem that was huge in the, you know, in the 70s, 80s and 90s with cirrhosis due to their elegant, slow consumption of expensive wine and Pernod. Or you know other you know other pasties are available. Sorry, you know, but they introduced public health legislation, which apparently reduced their levels of cirrhosis. Similarly, in Scandinavia, the Finns were notorious for their levels of alcohol consumption, and they managed to bring it down too. And recently, the Canadians, I think in British Columbia for a start, have introduced minimum unit pricing. And I gather that the impact on drink driving, on public assault levels and crime, and on health and public health metrics have all been very, very beneficial.
Okay.
But, you know, as I say, the figures are still coming in and it's early days.
Well, Owen, I know you had a little question mark over the results coming out of Scotland because of how they excluded specifically alcoholics and real problem drinkers. As Chris said, there is evidence from other parts of the world that this type of thing, essentially making alcohol expensive, has positive public health impacts.
Well, I mean, Ireland is one of the most expensive places in the world to buy alcohol, and I could easily point to a lot of southern European countries where they have arguably kind of healthy attitudes towards alcohol and healthy outcomes, where the cost of alcohol is very, very cheap. So I mean, I think a lot of it is to do with our kind of cultural relationship with alcohol, and maybe Ireland's one is not the healthiest in that we do like to kind of get blotto. But I'm just not sure that price is the thing that's going to change that.
All right. Well, listen, we appreciate your time. Owen O'Malley, political scientist from Dublin City University, and Chris Luke, consultant in emergency medicine in Cork. One listener wondering, will the alcohol percentage level be taken into account with new legislation? E.g. a 7% can of beer for €1.28 versus a lighter beer of 3 or 4%. I think that €1.28 is about the alcohol units. It'll come down to how many units of alcohol are in the can. So your 7% can of beer, I understand, will be more expensive than your 3 or 4% can of beer. Well, says someone else, we have both then. We have a huge alcohol problem and a huge drug problem, particularly cocaine. What a great country. And another listener, we're literally discussing all day on radio how young people are moving to cannabis and drugs because it's unregulated and cheaper than drinking. Can we not see that making alcohol more expensive will keep that younger generation moving towards drugs on nights out? The problem is already crazy. We have no proper education. We just keep hiking prices. What is wrong with our government?